dating for us was great. We got married.
And then everything changed.
And then everything changed.
Marriage is complicated because Gary likes to be right.
We have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Judy likes to be right, too.
Yes, she does.
I'd say marriage is complicated because you like to pour milk in the bowl first and then the cereal. That's just weird.
I'm really the fifth kid, so all boys.
Yeah.
So.
Marriage is complicated because I live with three women.
When we were dating into the marriage, she cooked a meal, an awesome meal, lasagna, cheesecake, and everything. So I was hooked. I'm like, ooh, I'm scoring now. She's awesome. She's beautiful, and she knows how to cook. And then we got married. She didn't know how to cook. Just that was the only thing she cooked. So I cooked for the first 3 years of our marriage.
And he just leaves everything around the house, his clothes, and he doesn't pick up after himself.
Okay. When we first got married, I was on time.
I was not.
For what?
Everything.
Everything.
Marriage is complicated because I didn't marry a mind reader.
Yes.
I probably should have.
Marriage is complicated because he always wants to...
When I say 20 minutes, I mean 20 minutes.
Amen.
Oh, wait, we're not on the sex.
We're not on the sex thing.
Marriage is complicated, and sure it is. But we still decide to get married, because if you can get the complications working for you instead of against you, it's fantastic. Clarice and I have been married 31 years. And so there's a picture of us on our wedding day right there. There they are right there. And we're happy that day as we kind of venture into our marriage, and we don't have a clue on what it's going to be like. And we all start out that way. We want to get married, you know. And maybe you're like me. I thought the key to a happy, lasting marriage, a loving marriage, was going to be that, you know, we had a lot of things in common. In my mind, if we had a lot of things in common, we had a lot of interests, we were very compatible. I was looking for someone compatible with me. And then I get married and I find out Clarice and I couldn't be more different. And we're nowhere near alike. Clarice was raised on an island, you know, and I was raised up in the mountains. She has a huge, huge family. And Clarice has known her father her whole life. She has a great relationship with him, and she has a great relationship with her stepdad. I never even knew my dad. You know, Clarice has this huge family. They're all blood related. And I have two blood related sisters, and I have two brothers and a sister that I'm not blood related to, but they're my family. Way different. And Clarice and I, when we started dating, I thought, well, you know, she's going to be looking for someone that's compatible with her. And so our favorite spot to go was a Chinese restaurant. We go to this Chinese restaurant. And the problem is, I can't stand Chinese food. So I would go to this Chinese restaurant because Clarice loves, even to this day, I can't stand Chinese food. I've got this one friend that was telling me the other day, you know, a little ways back, he said, I can't stand Chinese food. And he goes, what? Because what could be more American than Chinese food? You know, and I'm like, what? You know, this guy's got a big tattoo of the flag on his calf. And so I'm like, wow, maybe he knows. But I don't like it. I didn't like it then. But I would go to this Chinese restaurant, and I would sit there with, you know, and gag that food down with a smile on my face, because I thought, well, what if Clarice is one of her top five things is she wants a guy that likes Chinese food, you know? And so I tried to make sure everything was like, can we be compatible? And then we get married. And I find out we're so different. My wife loves clarity. So for Clarice, everything has to be clear. She always goes by the directions. I mean, she could have made a dish 1,000 times, and she still has the book with the recipe open. You know, because she loves clarity. Everything has to be clear. She asks lots of questions. She takes her time. She listens closely. Everything has, Clarice loves clarity. Me, not so much. I don't really even care if things are clear. I mean, I don't ever read directions. I don't ever ask directions. I mean, for me, it's like, one guy likened it, he said, Clarice, like a duck hunter. So Clarice is like a duck hunter that wants all of her ducks in a row out on the pond. And you like to shoot them when they're flying around. You know, that's how I like to be in. Has that caused problems in our relationship? Well, sure it has. I mean, she's always asking questions and taking her time and wanting to get all of her ducks in a row. And I'm like, hey, you know, we could just shoot them now. You know, we don't have to wait. And it's been an issue for us. And what I want to talk about today, we don't know everything about marriage, but I want to talk about today is it's not about being compatible. It's about being connected. That's what makes a loving, lasting relationship. So I'm glad you're at East Lake, right on your big idea, marriage, how to stay connected. And here's a part of the Bible. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So talking about two people and then having Jesus in your relationship. And it's amazing we even get married. I mean, in all the marriages and weddings that I've been a part of, and I ask myself, why do people still get married? We've heard the statistics, 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. So you wonder, why do people keep getting married? I mean, what else would we do? I mean, like if you were on vacation in the Bahamas and you were sitting on a nice white sandy beach and there's the water out in front of you and there was a huge billboard that said 50% of the people that go in the water get eaten by sharks. You know, would you go in the water? But we still decide to get married. So what people want to do is be with someone and get married. And I think Jesus has said a lot about it. He's got the answer. It's in your notes. Here's Jesus talking. Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied. They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. Since then, no longer two but one. Let no one split apart what God has joined together. So Jesus is saying at the very beginning of the story, God designed it that way that people would be together. But how do we stay connected? How do we not get disjoined and separated? How do we stay together? I'll talk about three different things today, kind of a way of like this is how you stay connected. And the first one is right in your note, hand in hand. So three different types of ways. Here's how you stay together. Some things Clarice and I have learned about marriage. Here's how you stay hand in hand. And here's a part of the Bible. Marriage is honorable in every way. So husbands and wives should be faithful to each other. Now, hand in hand, that's sort of the casual part of relationships. It's just the, you know, hanging out for coffee, having a hobby. It's the shallows of relationships. But if you think about, you know, go to any lake or pond or go to an ocean, and there's a lot of life in the shallows. We used to go to tide pools and look around, and I was always amazed at how much is going on in the shallows. And every relationship needs shallows. Just the hand-to-hand stuff, just the hangout stuff. It's not too deep. It's just you're sort of hanging out with each other. Chatting is the shallows. Just being able to chat with each other and talk to each other, not about deep stuff and all the heavy stuff, just to be able to chat with each other. It's something I'm working on. I should say that in most relationships, lots of relationships, there's usually someone that's pretty good at chatting and someone that's not. And I don't know, maybe this is a guy thing, maybe not. I've noticed this. Girls seem pretty good at chatting and guys don't. Girls seem like when they chat, they can talk about the details, and they're chatting about the details, and, you know, and girls like the details, and it seems like guys like headlines. It's like Clarice asks me when I come home from work, how was your work today? And I'm like, that's okay. That's my headline. And I'm done chatting. You know, just like, fine. Now, with Clarice, she's a great chatter. And I'm always, you know, like, if you ask Clarice, I mean, the other night, I was in my office, and I was listening to her on the telephone with her sister, and they were just chatting. This was not heavy stuff at all. They were just chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting and more chatting. And I mean, it was like a chatting drone in the background, you know, and it was just going and going and going and going. And I was listening to it, and you know what was in my mind? I thought, that sounds like a lot of work. I mean, they're just chatting and chatting and chatting, and so in relationships, there's always something that seems like a lot of work. So if you're the one, maybe you're the guy in your relationship, and it's not easy. You want to come home and you just want to give the headlines. That's all you want to give. Or maybe you don't want to ask your wife or your girlfriend how their day was because you know it's like taking like the, it's like a geyser that's going to go off. It's just like, how was your day? Oh, my day was fine. You should have heard my boss. I didn't put my guy saying my day. You're just like, I just wanted three headlines. You know, just... And yet it's so important. Because chatting builds the foundation of a friendship. And if you're not good at chatting, then you have to sort of choose to chat. And I've sat with couples before that, you know, that will go through this, and the girl will say something like this. Well, if he doesn't want to chat with me, if he doesn't feel like chatting with me, then I'm not even going to, I don't want him to choose to chat with me. I want him to feel like he wants to. He can come and chat with me when he feels like he wants to chat. And I'm always like, that is so dumb. Girl, you're going to wait for him to feel like he wants to chat? You better go jump on Netflix and download all of Parenthood, a whole season. Because he ain't going to be there in quite some time because he may never feel like he wants to chat. But if he chooses it, it's legitimate. And here's what I've discovered in my marriage. Oftentimes the feelings follow the choice. And by the way, we all have choices we have to make that says, I love you. Now, you know, it may come real natural for you to chat, but there may be something else in the relationship that doesn't come so natural. And you have to choose. Now, why do we chat? Because it becomes the foundation of being able to talk about some of the things that are a little bit more difficult to talk about. Problems that come up, things that need to be discussed. When you learn to chat and stay connected, it sets you up to be able to go deeper. Number two, write in your notes, heart to heart. This is the deeper stuff. It's not the shallows. We've got to talk about our finances. We have to talk about the children. We have to talk about someone in the family that has gotten sick. We have to talk, an issue comes up. You get married and you don't even know you have issues. And then you get married and you realize where all these issues come from. They squeeze to the surface and they're deeper things. Things that need to be talked about. In your notes here, there's a scripture. What people say with their mouths come what fills their hearts. And that's why it's so important to learn to listen. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's so important to learn. And maybe you're a great listener, and that's fantastic, and maybe you're not. But you have to learn to listen. Because when you listen to someone, you hear who they are. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to hear what someone has going on in their life, you learn to listen, which is difficult because normally there's someone in the relationship that's not a great listener. Someone wants to share, but they're not a great listener. Do you know, when it comes to problems, and this is a generalization, so that may not be true, when it comes to problems, women, they like to share their problems. Men like to fix problems. And I know sometimes I'll always have a woman that comes to me afterwards in church and says, well, I'm the dude in the relationship. I'm like, good, you're the dude in the relationship. But I mean, it's like, so maybe you're the dude in your relationship, you're a girl. But I'm just trying to say to you, most time, women, they get some, I don't know why they do, but they get something out of sharing their problems. Guys are not like that. I don't want to talk about and share the problem. That just makes it seem worse. I don't want that. I want to be able to fix the problem. See, that's what I'm shooting for. So you got women, I want to share the problem, and you got men wanting to fix the problem, make it difficult. Check this out. I'll give you a little spoof on it.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
But it is so real. I mean, when you're in a marriage relationship and you're the guy or you're the fixer, it just is so natural to say, hey, let's just fix that. And the woman's on the other side saying, I don't want it fixed right now. I want to connect. You know, I want to share the problem, and I want to know that you're connecting with the problem. Then we can fix it. And that's why oftentimes when you fix a woman's problem, she's not even grateful. She's like, I needed the problem for a while so we could share. And you're like, are you crazy? Where would you think like that? But that's, I want someone to share with me, connect with me around it. And so you have to learn to listen to be able to go deeper. Now the rhythm of being in this, there's the listening and the talking, and everybody's got to sign and get their rhythm. Like, when do I listen? When do I talk? Because there's the talking part. And look here in the Bible, what you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. There's a talking part, too. How you talk to each other in a relationship. Do you know, in our relationship, my wife has never called me stupid. Although I have been stupid many times. My wife has never told me that I'm a bad parent. Although I have had my failures. Do you know, my wife has never, ever called me a loser. Even though many times I have felt like a loser. Clarice has never threatened me with divorce. Murder a couple times, but never divorce. The way you talk to each other, how you speak to each other, words, they carry a lot of power. In the beginning of the Bible, it says that God spoke everything into existence. He used words. He just didn't snap his finger. He spoke. You create things when you speak. And it can be life or it can be death. And one of the reasons you have to get the rhythm down, how am I listening and how am I talking? Because there's lots of things that come up in our relationships that we have to be able to go deeper. Things happen with the children. And you have to talk about deeper stuff. You can't stay hand in hand all the time. You have to go heart to heart. An issue comes up out of no place, an emotional one. And someone needs to talk. It's just not women. Guys have them too. And they get fired. They get demoted at work. A physical injury comes up. And you have to be able to talk. And there's a rhythm to go deeper. It builds on hand to hand, hanging out and chatting. But at some point, and the key is, can I listen and can I talk? Now, the third thing, right in your notes, skin on skin. Skin on skin, and what I'm going to talk about here is kind of PG. It's sexual intimacy. So, got all the guys' attention right quick. Sexual intimacy. But let me, before I say that, I know skin on skin in a marriage relationship is not just about that. It's really important to hold hands. And it's super important to hug. What I'm working on right now in my own particular relationship, my wife is super, super physical in terms of how she likes to show affection, and not so much. And so I'm choosing to give lots of hugs. You know, I'll get up and I'll just give her a hug out of nowhere. When I first started, I think she thought something was weird. She pushed me back like, what's wrong? I said, no, I'm just coming to give you a hug. You know, she's like, after 28 years, yeah, I finally got it, you know. All that's important, very, very important. And there's probably one of you that it comes a little bit more natural to. It's not always just women. A lot of guys are very physically affectionate. They like to hold hands. They like their wives to sit on their lap. They like that kind of stuff. And sometimes girls are not. Maybe something's happened in their past. Maybe physical touch it's not comfortable for them. And so they have to make choices that's okay. You know, I want to talk about sexual intimacy for a second because it's a very important part of a healthy relationship. So we're in church. This is a church for everyone, and we got to talk about some of the things that the Bible talks about. Look at this one verse in the scripture. He is my lover and my friend. And we really do approach it very, very, very differently, men and women especially. One of my friends, and I've said it before, he says men, when it comes to sex, are more like a microwave. And women are like a crock pot. You know, men, they heat up really, really super fast. It all happens very, very quickly. They're always ready. You know, it's just, you know, and then the bell goes off and they're done. 3 minutes or something, you know, it's just bing, you know, boom, you know. All of a sudden, they're extremely tired. I don't know how that happens. I mean, guys can be so filled with energy. They're like, well, I got to go to bed. It's going to be awesome. They got these great intentions. And like 3.5 minutes later, they're like, oh, man, I am beat. You know, and women, crockpots. That's not how that works. Women, they're warming up quite a while. You know, they're making decisions mid-afternoon if anything's going to happen. Do you know a man doesn't even have to make a decision about sex? It's always yes. And it's always now. They can be ready at any time. They're a microwave. They don't need any preparation whatsoever. They're ready now. Here is the context right now. Women, well, now for them is more like then. It's like, well, I have a now too, but my now is then because I'm warming up. With crock pots, you have to kind of slowly turn them up. You just don't push a button, 30 seconds, bing, you know, that's not how they work. You got to warm it up a little bit. And of course, so if you have a microwave and a crock pot trying to, you know, that's hard, that's difficult. Women are in a whole different sort of a place, and they're impressed so differently. Men and women, you know, women, how to impress a woman come to sexual stuff. Listen to this list right here. Listen, this is a big list. Okay, here it is. Women, compliment her, cuddle her, kiss her, caress her, love her, comfort her, protect her, hug her, hold her, spend money on her, wine and dine her, listen to her, care for her, stand by her, support her, go to the ends of the earth for her. How to impress a man? Show up naked and bring beer. Pretty easy. A lot going on there. That's a pretty fast part. And yet you have to be together. And that's complicated. That's complicated. Because when men or maybe, you know, if your wife is sort of aggressive or she's like aggressive when it comes to sex, hey, guys, listen to this now. If you're married to a microwave, the rest of us hate your guts. We don't even like you. Because that could be. Maybe it's a little opposite in your relationship. But men, women, I just want you to know something. If you're kind of assertive or you, let's say, for instance, when it comes to sex, that you initiate sex, the guy won't think you're weird. He'll think you're awesome. You know? Listen to this. I clipped this out of a newspaper ad. This was in an ad section. Single female seeks male companionship. Ethnicity not important. I'm young, good-looking girl, and I love to play. I love long walks, riding in your pickup truck, hunting, camping, fishing, cozy winter nights spent lying by the fire. I'll be at the front door when you come home from work wearing only what nature has given me. Call 859-875-6420 and ask for Daisy. 15,000 men actually responded to this ad, and it was the Humane Society where a black lab named Daisy lives. mean, it's complicated. It's complicated. And it's a huge part of being in a marriage. And so often, we're so unprepared. You know, I remember when I was a younger man, because of the scare with HIV and AIDS, I thought everything's going to change. It's not going to be like when I was in junior high and high school anymore. I mean, everything's going to be so careful now and everything. It didn't change anything. And people hook up more and sleep around more and they express themselves sexually more. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. And the world trains us. You know, the TV, the movies, they train us on how to be sexually. And it's nothing like that when you get into marriage. I mean, you get into marriage, you think, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be sex 3 times a day. I'm going to be just like the guys in the movies. It's going to be so wonderful. It's like, it's not. It can be scary and intimidating. And you can feel rejected. And you can wonder, are we ever going to have sex again? Hello. You know, it's a and yet it's so, and women should know, this is like one of the most important ways that a man feels loved. And please don't think we're weird because of that. We're wired that way. It's the way we are. Very difficult. I mean, did you see the list? Do you know that the top things on a woman's list, the very, very top how you feel loved, is to be emotionally connected? That's a woman. That isn't even the top 5 for a guy. He doesn't care about that. You could be in the middle of a huge fight with your husband, yelling, screaming, just, I mean, blood-curdling fight with your husband. And you could call a timeout and go, listen, why don't we go in the back room and have sex? He goes, sounds good to me. I mean, he doesn't need to be connected like that. And yet, if you're a woman, you do. So these are things you got to figure out. We certainly have. I was so certain. I was Christian. I spent junior high and high school not Christian. So all my role models and everything that had to do with sex and didn't have anything to do with God. God wasn't a part of my life in terms of me having a relationship with him. And then I became Christian. And I wanted to, you know, try a do-over. So I thought, you know, I held off. Like, when I get married and, you know, then the sex is going to start. I thought this was going to be this phenomenal thing, you know. It's just like, and then we got married, and I realized it's a struggle. It's difficult. You have to work on it, and talk about things. One of the reasons it's so important to hand in hand. Remember, guys, fill the crock pot at about 3 p.m. Hold her hand, hug, work through things. One of the reasons it's important to connect heart to heart, because really, at the end of the day, even though our culture would say sex is the easy part. It's not. Very, very intimate. A lot goes on. And I'm not like telling you anything you don't know. And yet it's critical to what it is to be with each other. I love what it says in the old Bible, the King James Bible, when it talks about sex, it'll say, and he knew her. And that's what I've discovered about sex. You really, that's where you know someone. And they know you. And when you can be involved in that, where it is completely known, and there's a safety there, and there's a trust there, then you start to get what God created it for, more than just a physical experience. See, culture would say it's just a joyride. A physical roller coaster. Get all you can get. God says it's a way of connecting and knowing someone, committing to them, walking in the deepest level of relationship. Completely anti-culture, actually. And you find that out when you get married. So hand in hand, heart to heart, skin to skin. Now, here's the bottom line, and write in your notes, as we're talking about marriage is complicated. Following Jesus is the glue to hold us together. Let me read something out of the Bible. be willing to serve each other out of respect for Christ. Wives, be willing to serve your husbands the same as the Lord. Husbands, love your wives the same as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Before I ever got married, I heard someone do a talk like this, and they put a triangle up on a screen, like I'm going to show you. And they put this up there, and they talked about marriage, and it was so different for me as a young Christian to hear it, because I thought whenever you tried to get closer to someone or whenever you worked on your relationship, you did it laterally with each other. And he completely revolutionized the way I saw relationships, and he drew this triangle. And he said, really, when it comes to relationships and especially marriage, if both people are moving towards God, the natural result is they become closer. And what he was saying is that the focal point really is not your spouse. The focal point is Jesus. And that was entirely different for me. In fact, it gave me hope. Because sometimes when I looked at Clarice or I looked at myself, I couldn't see any hope. To put it out there a little bit, you know, you could say, 31 years, what an awesome thing and everything. We have had our moments, you know, and in the last 30 years, I can honestly tell you, if I wasn't Christian and I wasn't moving towards Jesus, I don't know if I'd even be married. I know one time in particular that I remember like trying to find it. And I remember saying to myself, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back where he used to be. You know, I don't know if Clarice is going to, if we're ever going to, I don't know how we're going to make it. And yet as I continued to move towards Jesus, and as my wife continued to move towards Jesus, see, he never changes. Gosh, marriage does. You get married, you don't have any kids, and then all of a sudden you have kids and everything changes. You talk about what changes your sex life. You have kids. You know, knock on the door. You know, you're like, what do we do now? You know. Women go through things with their bodies. You know, you have children, you start breastfeeding. You know, for guys and girls, it's like, I never knew that was an actual bodily function that had another purpose. You know, and it's just weird stuff happens. Your kids get older and finances change, and we've been married 30 years. We're empty nesters for the first time. It's so weird. I mean, I was looking forward to it. My whole life goes, someday they're going to be gone. It's going to be just us again. You know, it's like, you don't know why we have these crazy ideas of what we're going to be. We'll do anything we want. It'll be so awesome. You know, nothing changes, you know, except you miss your kids. It's weird for us. This big old house, and it's the first time we've ever lived without our kids, you know, for 29 years. And you're going to go through a lot of changes, too. And some of you may be where I was one day. When I looked into my marriage, I looked at Clarice, and I looked at me, and I said, there's not enough here, man. I don't think we're going to make it. How am I going to explain this to my friends and my pastor? And what's everybody going to say when they find out that they divorced? How am I? And yet, in that moment, to be able to look to heaven and just say, Jesus, I'm here, just like always. Take me. And as we moved towards him, it was the glue that held us together. And still does. It's not because we're compatible. It isn't because of all the work that we've done. At the end of the day, we have him. And as we move towards him, Now, you may be saying, well, you know, my spouse doesn't know the Lord yet, or they're not walking with Jesus, or something like that. And that's okay. You move towards Jesus. He'll get them. He'll bring them along. You might be saying, well, we don't go at the same pace, and, you know, he won't go as fast as I want him to. Get off it. Move towards Jesus. Because as you do, it'll be the glue that holds you together.